Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Anavision EXT episode 009 for Maho Shoujo Madoka Magica Rebellion, the third and final movie and very pivotal movie in the Madoka series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jero, and that was XCOM you just heard.
Yes, hi.
So we are going to be discussing many parts of the movie. We'll be talking about the movie in full detail, so spoilers aplenty, be careful unless you're just interested for whatever reason. So before we actually talk about the movie, let's talk about our thoughts on the TV series coming into it and our interest in the movie. I myself was a fan of the TV series. I really liked the ending to that series, so I came into this movie very interested to see what the movie would do as far as kind of continuing the story and almost maybe in some sense kind of restarting the movies or series, because technically this is a part of a free movie series in which the first two can be kind of looked at as glorified recaps, but they're also their own thing completely separate of the TV series, so I was very interested to see that part. How about you?
Excellent. Yeah, well, I have a lot of the same thoughts behind it. That I really enjoyed the series, especially like the shock of the of how it started, and yeah, I was looking to see what happens after this. The end of the series kind of like ended at the possibility of a reboot, where like the entire series could kind of start over again, but with Homura being the focal point versus Madoka, so kind of got to see what happens after that.
Mm-hmm. Movie time. Let's talk about it. Let's break it down piece by piece here. We can start with the first segment of the movie, and from the series ending to where we start with Rebellion, we see similar scenes. Madoka waking up her mom, eating breakfast at the table, going to school. There's some different things here. Sakura is now in school with them, living in Mitakihara, and Mami is in the same class as them. Homura is the transfer student here, and earlier than that, there's a conversation between Madoka and her mom is different about the teacher Saotomi, and the Saotomi, the teacher, is talking to you about the apocalypse. And having seen the movie in full, you can kind of look to that opening of the movie as an idea of where to go with the series. I remember the conversations being more positive in the TV series, and the ending to that series is, of course, a very positive one, with the wish that Madoka made becoming Gadoka and getting rid of the witches.
Well, the funny thing about like this, the whole beginning to this movie, I totally thought that like I missed something at the end of the second movie, because I'm like, we've seen this before. Like I didn't initially catch all the different things. I'm like, well, it's a little different, but I don't know if this was because this is the third part in the movie, or if it's something we haven't caught on yet. But it's like, I know these scenes. This has all happened before. Homura being the transfer student, that's happened before. Everything has happened before. So I was kind of confused at first, but I was like, you know what? I'm sure they're going to explain everything coming up.
Yeah. And it takes a little while to get into that, because essentially, the first half hour of the movie is fan service.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the transformations that they went one by one with all five of the girls, and they had, like, Mami was figure skating, and Sayaka was breakdancing. That was kind of fun. and then we see Hitomi Shizuki, of somebody that they know at school, turns into a wraith because she's upset about her boyfriend not spending time with her. And then they sing this song about cake that goes on for a while, and there's some togetherness. The first 30 minutes of this movie is can be looked at as very fluffy because of how kind of fun it is to watch, which is kind of odd for a Madoka series.
Yeah, they just had so much fun with it, and I'm like, wow, you would never have thought the fact that they put their lives on the line, or at least they supposedly put their lives on the line. It's kind of, it harpens back to like classic magical girl stuff, like they're fighting evil, but they're kind of having fun doing it at the same time. And it seems like during this part of the movie that it happens all the freaking time.
Yeah,
they're like, she's pissed off again because of her boyfriend. And she turns into a wraith, and then they calm her down. They don't kill them, which is the part that's the most interesting to me. Like, they just turn them back into human. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes the reason why you can just fight over and over again, and there's no sadness, because they don't kill anybody. They just revert them back to before they transformed.
Mm-hmm. And Sakura talks to Homura about coming to Mitakihara, because where she lived in Kazumino, there just wasn't that much going on, so that's how Sakura got to join these girls now and take part in the fun. But the not killing is an interesting point too, because they all just kind of accepted it. I think there was even a conversation that they were having with Mommy in the movie about enjoying it, and she was saying that it's not necessarily something that should be enjoyed, but it's something we do. Now, back to Sakura. She has a conversation with Homura, and that kind of gives us the first sign in the movie that something isn't right here, because Homura is asking questions about where Sakura was from, etc., etc. So they decide to go to Kazumino City, and they ride this bus, and it's just going along the path, but then it kind of verges off from where Sakura thinks it should go, which kind of makes you think, is Kazumino really there? Do these people not know what's going on? First of all, that scene, I love the animation in that scene. All the backgrounds and stuff were beautiful. The way they had the road and they had the moon peeking over it, just a gorgeous scene. It's probably one of my favorite animation pieces of the movie. But it was, again, the first sign that something's wrong here.
Yeah, I kind of, for whatever reason at this point, it reminded me a little bit of Revolutionary Girl Utena. And I'm not entirely sure. It's just something that I thought about when I was watching that movie. But that part was really strange. And they were like, well, you double-check the bus, right? Like, yeah. And they and you see that it does say that it's going to that city. And then towards where it would go there, it changes.
Yeah.
It's like, huh. And like this world starts kind of, at that point, the world is kind of working against them. And Homura has to unravel the mystery of what the heck is going on.
Yeah. And her first step in doing so is trying to get Bebe to speak about Bebe, of course, Mommy's pet now, kind of in the same way that Kyubei is Madoka's pet, tries to get Bebe to talk, but then Mommy stops her, and then they have what I would call a gunfight for the ages.
it was an epic battle.
Like, I have to say, when I saw this movie at Raleighwood, they had an introduction with the Seiyu cast, and they were talking about how they were going to have Hollywood-style action scenes, and when I heard that, I thought, oh, okay, whatever. And then sure enough, you see this fight between Homura and Mommy, and just incredible. I just loved how fast it was and how frenetic the action was. Guns blazing, and then that moment when time unfreezes and all the bullets just go flying. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was like, don't move, because even though the bullet may not be there yet, it could be as soon as you move. So it's like, oh god, that was so awesome. It was very like Matrix-y at the bit, like as far as like the bullet time. I don't know if you would call it bullet time, because it's just that the bullet's kind of frozen midair.
Yeah, it's kind of like bullet time on pause or something. You could call it that. And then after that, you see a moment where Homura is going to sacrifice herself, but not really. She's kind of using that as the trick to lure Mommy into stopping her, but then Mommy turns into a whole bunch of ribbons, and then she kind of goes off, and then Homura runs across Sayaka. And the interesting thing about Sayaka is that she's the one who's meant to remember everything that happened in the series before, you know, the whole wish that Madoka made to shape the entire world. And then that's when Homura realizes that there are three things that aren't right about it. Somewhere, like, there's an actual witch, mm-hmm. and Sayaka, and then something else.
Yeah, and of course Homura's like, okay, there's a witch somewhere, we need to kill them. And Sayaka's like, are you sure about that? And Homura's mm-hmm. like, why not? That's what we do. We yeah. kill witches. And Sayaka kind of cryptically was just kind of faded out of the picture. At that point, I was actually questioning Sayaka. But of course, are we going to go into that right now? About
sure.
Who the witch really is? The turn or the flip in this movie was that Homura was, in fact, the witch that she wanted to kill. Which, of course, kind of a hard thing to do. kill yourself when you're just this badass witch. In fact, what ended up, what was going on was that Homura created this labyrinth. And that's the thing. Now that that's kind of being brought up, the labyrinth has all this weird animation to it. And in the series, it was like that. The first thing I noticed with this movie is that that kind of animation was everywhere.
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, that's weird. But I thought that was just the style of the movie. I figured that, well, they don't have a way to factor that in anymore because they don't have witches' labyrinths anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was I wrong.
but in the series, they made it a point to enter somewhere where you would see that that style. I still don't know what to call it. There's a surrealist look to it.
I guess, yeah, just creepy surreal is pretty much
cutouts.
Yeah, it is really weird. I don't know what to call it either, but it's there. It's very distinct, and you can't miss it. And I guess looking back, they were hinting at this the entire time,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that you could easily miss or just like dismiss it, like I did, because I was like, oh well, it's just something a part of the movie versus the series, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire time, everybody's in a labyrinth, and who's the mastermind behind it all? But Cube.
Who else? Who else? Cube, yeah.
I was like, I know, like, at the very beginning of this movie, when I saw Cube, I was like, and here's Cube. He's up to something. But Cube, they turned him into, like, this cat type thing. And I'm like,
yeah,
it has to be Cube. But then I was like, they showed a lot of Bebe, and I was like, well, maybe babies. The series or this movie did a very good job at steering me away from like my initial thoughts, because I was totally thinking Yube, and it kind of played me the entire time until. Mm-hmm. They kept flashing Cube's face. Like, one thing they kept doing in the series was that you would just see Cube's blank stare, like, just randomly.
Yeah. They would do that close up on the eyes that they love to do. But yeah, with Incubator, his role in this is that he's still observing, and they were having this conversation about, why would you just stay around? And then Homura puts the pieces together. Oh, it's to control Madoka, hoping that Homura will bring her back, and then that Cube can work his magic. And there's nothing more satisfying in anime for me than when Incubator's plans blow up in his face. Like, I remember that was a scene in the movies where everybody laughed at
Yeah, like it's too bad that there's so many of. I guess in a way that's kind of the only way it would work. Just a Cubase slaughter. Incubator slaughter, I guess, is a more perfect term for it. And there are just so many of them.
There are. Yeah.
It's just holy crap. There's so many of them.
It's one of the most unique alien races in anime. The incubators.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so after that, after Cubase, his plan kind of gets foiled. That's when we see Homura's witch form, which is really great looking, and you also see the head part cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brought about another great action scene where we see Sakura and Sayaka working together. We see Mami and Nagisa, the other character, doing their thing. And what we haven't seen much of or even talked about in the movie is Madoka herself. This Madoka that we see is she's just another version of Madoka, and they all kind of break the labyrinth open. And then after that, this is when we see what is the very most pivotal scene in the movie. We see Gattaca come, and we think, you know, Homura has this affection for Madoka that we've seen in the TV series, because it's one thing that they recap to when she was trying to save her so many times, but Madoka kept dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene is very powerful because you see Homura's selfishness and her love and desire being so deep that she separates Gattaca or Madoka from Gattaca.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing, but
and then after that, that's when we get to sort of the end of the movie, and we see that Homura is now how she's affected the world, and she's kind of changed the characters a little bit. Sayaka is still familiar with what's going on, still thinks it's not right, and then we see kind of a similar scene at the end with Madoka, where she's taking her on a tour for the school or walking her to a certain place in the school, and then Madoka realizes.
Well, we should clarify to say that, like, kind of the whole world has been reset again.
Yeah.
This time Madoka is the transfer student, and Homura is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one showing around Madoka. And Sayaka and I believe Sakura were assisting Madoka, like, kind of like in the afterlife, because instead of magical girls turning into witches, they were just disappearing and I guess going into Madoka's side or whatever. Mm-hmm. They came back to assist Gattaca in the battle, which is reversing a little bit, I know, but like just catching you up to the mm-hmm. reset. Which is why Sayaka still is like, nothing's going right, and she kind of confronts Homura about it. But Homura, I guess she now has Madoka's kind of like godlike powers now.
Pretty much, yeah. And she calls herself a devil, and that's almost, it's kind of interesting because that last scene with Madoka is where you really feel like, well, we've reset, but we've reset in a way that's new, and I still kind of want to see more of what comes next.
If yeah.
Madoka's able to fully realize her role and, you know, turn it, you know, at least on Homura's side, into a tragedy.
Because I kind of feel like this is, like, going to be, like, another good versus evil battle, like, God versus the devil and just stuff like that. And Homura's decided to take on the devil, and as to contrast, Madoka's like godlike. I find it kind of odd that Homura went so dark because she loved Madoka so much, to a point where it was very creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what makes the scene really interesting is that I remember watching it the first time and having those thoughts about Homura. And I was watching this again, and I was thinking, maybe I misunderstood something. But then you see the end where you think that Kadoka should just take Homura back with her, but that's not what Homura wants. Homura's been through this loop thousands and thousands of times, and she thinks that she has the first opportunity to kind of save Madoka and be with her, where it really brings her her morality into question.
I know, so she's selfish.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
In fact, you could argue, I mean, the whole reason why Madoka got her powers in the first place was because she was reliving the same thing thousands and probably millions of times over because of Homura in the first place. So it's Homura is kind of amplifying both of them by herself, and is just oddly enough the most powerful magical girl that's ever been there, just because she has like this amplifying effect.
What it reminds me of a little bit is the ending for The Last of Us, where in that game Joel had a choice to make, and he made the very selfish decision. But there, that was open up for debate whether what he did was right or not. Whereas here, I feel like Homura made a choice that was clearly selfishly figured out. So let's talk about some extra discussion here now we're done going for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the artistic stylings, a little bit of Madoka Magica. You talked about how because they're in a labyrinth that you see that stuff more and more. And I think with the movie, we were able to see not only just more of that stuff, but more in volume. Like when you see the final scene, and almost you could kind of call it a war against all Homura and her witches and stuff, you see a lot more of that in action.
I mean, beyond the labyrinth, the general animation I felt was quite good. I kind of want to go back and watch the first two movies since I didn't actually watch those since we had seen the series. But the movies tend to, just the animation is a lot better for those, and I'm like, you know what? After watching this movie, I kind of want to go back and see how the first two movies were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I'm sure they'll be similar in quality, I think it would be more interesting to kind of compare it to the TV, because we know Shaft is a good animation group, and they put a lot of good work into their series in the TV series. They'll touch up a little here and there on Blu-rays and stuff.
You know, funny you should mention that. I actually saw like a three-pane comparing a single scene with Madoka and a fence behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote was, "The fence is getting fencier," because well, it was just a basic chain link fence in the background in the TV series. But then it was more elaborate on the DVD the Blu-ray release. And then in the movie, the same scene, it was like the entire wall was completely fenced off with all this intricate detailing and stuff like that. Like, I was like, holy crap, there's a big difference between the TV series, the Blu-ray, and the movie, as far as mainly background stuff. I'm sure, like, foreground animation, it's not that big of a difference, but background animation and little details that you probably don't notice the first time around.
With the movie, they had it in the budget to put a bigger fence up. Yeah, I guess that's how you could call it. Another point of discussion here. Homura's, I call it, ascension to the main character role in Madoka Magica.
Mm-hmm.
We see throughout the series, she's an integral part of what's going on. And in episode 10 is a very memorable episode in the series for her. And this movie, in a way, is kind of the past series, but with Homura as the lead instead of Madoka.
Mm-hmm.
And the tone is very different, of course, because of the type of character that Homura is compared to Madoka. I thought that was really interesting when I was watching the movie.
Yeah, me too. I almost wanted to see that from the beginning, because Homerov was just one of those characters where you knew that there's a lot more going for her than what she was letting on, because she was just this badass magical girl that just suddenly appeared, and nobody had that kind of power from the get-go. And it turns out, oh, well, she's been reliving her life thousands of times.
The movie, like, I'm trying to think of how I felt about... Maybe I kind of felt sorry for Homura in the TV series because of that. But now, you know, there's no room to really have empathy or sympathy for her situation now that she's in total control and, you know, kind of rewrites the world her way.
It's kind of hard to feel for somebody who rewrites the world and becomes God.
Yeah. All right, so another point here about the fan service, revisiting that from the first half hour of the movie. Kind of alluded to it already, but I really enjoyed that part of the movie, even though you could possibly call it extraneous, because there's nothing that it does to affect the overall plot other than we're just seeing these characters we enjoy kind of
go through the longest magical girl transformations I have ever seen. But they were enjoyable. Like, they all kind of had their own little transformation to them. It just wasn't like a cookie cutter magical girl transformation of just like getting dressed.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. But long.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that I think you can be really critical of, is the fact that they went back to back to back to back to
oh,
back.
Oh, yes.
And then that kind of took, I want to say, about 2 minutes. It was like this weird disruption in the middle of a battle, or like a prelude to the battle.
It felt like longer than 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Yeah, I might be underestimating on it, but...
Oh, God. But I should go back and time it.
There's also something that we saw, I believe, by the end of the TV series and the end of the second movie, is something that we didn't really get to see until the movie, in sort of the confirmed friend or even Yuri shipping of Sayaka and Sakura, who were very sort of not nice to each other early in the series, but we see when they're fighting that they hold hands.
Yeah, they have a thing.
Yeah. Is there anything else specifically? There was that one scene where Mommy was going to take off her towel and she was walking toward the screen, kind of doing a little tease there for the audience. I think there's anything else besides that. Just kind of like seeing the beginning of the movie again, but you know, having the fan service in the movie, I enjoyed that they did that. We can talk about how long those scenes were. Now, should a season 2 happen? Let's start with a short answer. I hope so. Yes.
Yes, I agree, especially with this revamped world. I definitely want to see what happens, because before we kind of had like a abstract ultimate enemy being the witches, and I guess ultimately Kyubei. But now Homura makes, I think, a better villain than even Kyubei.
Yeah. Kyubei has been kind of relegated now. It was kind of interesting toward the end of the movie that Homura was saying that there's a purpose for you. There's something I can use you for. Where Kyubei kind of becomes her pet, almost, in a way, where she can make her do something. But I also think, in some way, Incubator is always going to have that in the back of its head, its own mission and what it's trying to do, and that's something that could maybe work against Homura in the future. And then there's, of course, as we mentioned about the end of the movie, the realization of Madoka to realize who she once was, what Homura did, and what feelings she has toward Homura after that realization.
Yeah, like, what do you do when you find out, like, your best friend has rewritten the entire universe?
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't even... Like, Homura, like, really wants to be Madoka's lover at this point.
Yeah.
it's just like, I don't know. Like, when you rewrite the whole universe for somebody, I guess that's the ultimate form of, like, hey, I love you so much that I'm just going to rewrite the world to make you and I together.
And basically cancel Madoka's wish. It's kind of like all that work that went into Madoka figuring out what her wish would be and going through these experiences and then thinking that she had the most bulletproof wish that could free the world. You know, you can't totally free the world, but definitely get rid of the worst of it with the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have that all go to waste. Is there anything else for the series that we should maybe consider if they were going to? I think Sayaka would be a pivotal player, sort of being the outside, all-knowing force.
Towards the end of the movie, it's like she was losing her power/memories of the whole event. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there would be a way for her to get that back, for her to like go on some kind of quest to retrieve her memories. In fact, if there was another season, I would like to see it from Sayaka's point of view.
Yeah.
Like to continue the series with each of the other girls' point of view. And actually, I'd like to see more of Nagisa, because she kind of appeared and was there for that one fight.
Yeah, there wasn't really much with Nagisa. She was kind of just there. There was the moment with the gunfight, and then in the final battle where she was there, but I think that's a character that's would be really interesting to sort of look at and explore in a sequel series, because there just wasn't really enough in the movie to go off of. I agree.
Yeah, you just saw her. Like, who is this chick? How did she... like, she just suddenly appears. Like, oh yeah, let me help you guys for a little bit. I'd be like, who are you?
Yeah, I'm sure if we had our magnifying glasses and did some real research, we could probably dig up something, but maybe make it a little more in the open in the TV series. All right. So, overall impressions, I get the sense that we both like this movie a lot.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. I really enjoyed it all the way through. I thought it was a really interesting story. I was really glad that they made this movie. And it sort of made me think more about the TV series that I'd seen. Just to let people know, I feel like I've kind of hinted at this. I didn't really watch the first two movies. I kind of felt like they were glorified recaps, more of the same. There might be slight changes here and there. Maybe that's something that XCOM pre-air you were saying you were interested in looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I don't usually revisit series, but Madoka Magica is definitely a series that I would probably rewatch, only because I feel like I would have missed something the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And even with this movie, I plan on watching it again, just because there's so much that I figured out too late.
Yeah. Now, this last thing that I want to bring up, it's kind of something that I'm borrowing from someone else. Min, who was a guest on Animation Podcast before, he mentioned when he was at Anime Boston, he saw a panel called Madoka Magica is the first true post-Evangelion anime, which is kind of a big statement because we know how popular Evangelion is, how deep Evangelion is, and for the most part how well regarded it is in the industry, and how Hideaki Anno thinks his anime is so great and that nobody's made good anime since then, apparently. But it's a... And Min had said that panel was mostly disappointing.
You know, I don't mean to turn this into Evangelion discussion, but when the series initially came out, I didn't think it was that great. So I don't even understand why everybody's in a rush to compare things to Evangelion. And I only say that because the ending for it wasn't finished at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it became a cult classic, and then they were forced to revisit it. And, like, when the remake of the movies was amazing. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the time, I don't see how you could have foreseen that so many people would latch on to that series.
Yeah, I think it's just, in the 90s, it really was one of a kind.
That's true.
Which is why it was so popular. There just wasn't that much. You had Akira in the past, and I think that was before even, like, Ghost in the Shell came out, that first movie. But I wondered, with this, that subject, it made me start thinking about how good of a series is Madoka Magica, and what is its place in anime historically as just a 12-episode series with a 3-episode movie series. Like, how popular is it? How much longer can it keep going? How even with just as much as I mentioned, how popular is it, and how great of an anime is it?
How great of an anime? That's kind of hard, because really, I think the way to judge an anime isn't necessarily by the sales or how many people like. I think the greatness of an anime is its impact on the anime industry. And already we are starting to see series that are kind of borrowing from that formula. Like, after DBZ came out, like, there's huge surge of shonen anime. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that shonen anime weren't done before. Shonen anime were definitely done before. But having epic boss battles, stuff like that, that definitely was a noticeable increase. And I kind of see that, like, when there's a huge, there's an anime that comes out that kind of shakes a genre at its core, and to kind of change it a little bit. I think this is one of those types of animes, and this being the magical girl genre. And I guess to a lesser extent, shoujo. Yeah. Lesser extent, of course, but it has that possibility. Because as Steve likes to call it, Wixsauce, it's easily comparable to the series. I see that, and I have no idea when it was created versus this, but it seems like it's borrowing a little bit from this series. I kind of feel that, like, we're going to probably see more shows that appear initially to be like happy-go-lucky slice of life for shoujo, and then turn completely dark.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of what you said there. With Wickross, I kind of felt watching the second episode, it was a little derivative of Madoka Magica. Yeah, I felt like the characters, to a certain extent, could be compared to the characters that you see in Madoka Magica, and I have not seen enough of the series to kind of know what happens. I know on episode 199, Steve talked about a twist, and in Madoka Magica, the twist was that their souls are in the gems, and if you lose the gem, of course, you're gonna die.
I think the even bigger twist was that no matter what, at the end, you're going to turn into these witches that you're fighting.
Yeah, it's the highest form a magical girl can get to. And then,
I think that, like, when it comes to, since we're on this, Madoka had Mami die, like, fairly early in the series. They made you love her and then killed her off. Wixsauce kind of did something like that. One of the main characters, They kind of get you to love her. She starts developing friends with the main characters. And if you're watching like the intro, she's in the intro and she's like hanging out with the other two girls. So you think that she's like a character that'll stick around and everything like that. Well, come to find out, like really early in the series, she ends up losing 3 times, which makes it so that she can't have friends. She can't touch them. She can't think about them. She can't read her diary about them. And she gets severely depressed. And see, that's where the series takes like this sharp downward spiral. And I kind of feel that Madoka did something similar with Mami dying.
Oh, okay. I know this is a phrase that Amuro doesn't like, but deconstruction of the magical girl genre. and I think that's one of the things that actually helps Madoka Magica is that sort of divided views on it. Is like the ending is a very debated subject, whether they liked the ending or they thought the ending was horrible. Like, I was recording a Metanorn podcast and 2 people hated this movie.
Oh, really?
Me and another guy, we love this movie. So it's one of the things that kind of helps. Let me see if there's anything else here. The soundtrack was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Basically a Yuki Kajira soundtrack. If you've heard Fate Zero and some of those shows, it sounds very much like the music she composes. Claris was back with the opening. Another good one. Calafina. I like this ending theme better than the one from the TV show. I never liked that one. Because there's really no chorus. It's not a typical song structure. But are there any closing thoughts that you have on this movie?
Not anything besides I want them to continue the story. Whether it be in a manga form or just another movie. I would like a series. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think a movie would do it justice too. But just something to see how Homura decides to rule things. Mm-hmm. Because she seems to have a great grip on her powers. And I like to see how she uses them.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. Hoping for another TV series. And that's been our EXT. Number 9 on Madoka Magica Rebellion. Animation.org is the website, of course. You can find other EXT episodes like Infamous and Titanfall. We've been doing a lot of game ones recently, so this is kind of a rare anime EXT to do. But it's good because, you know, the other half of the Animation podcast doesn't really care for Madoka Magica that much.
That's
the same,
true.
Same way that XCOM and I do. So check that out there. For XCOM, I'm Jero. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Animation Podcast. Believe it.